Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck, and welcome to the program, and hi, guys.
Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton.
And yes, hi, this is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. Glad to be with you.
And we're coming at you from the Durham, North Carolina end of this virtual kitchen table, and we are the co-founders of the Global Center for Spiritual Awakening, which is a wonderful online ministry that we have where we offer lots of great resources. So we invite you to visit us there.
Not so easy to say, is it?
Yeah, really.
And so if this is your first time listening, Bill and Cher Holton are my wonderful friends and co-hosts. I have a website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find my calendar, where I'm going around the country at this time, as well as the Absolute Word, which is my version of the Sunday Daily Word, and we've been given permission to do that. And before we really get launching, it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
It's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And it's another beautiful day in my consciousness, too.
Absolutely. And I'm at the Overland Park end of the virtual kitchen table. And wherever you are, listener, that's your end of the virtual kitchen table. This is like a virtual kitchen table where we're having discussions and who knows where we're going to go. Right, guys?
Absolutely. We go off on all kinds of interesting directions.
All these wonderful tangents. So, but we do have a focus, and our focus is on spiritual law. We're continuing that. We are going to start today with the law of God in action, the law of God in action. And then in the second segment, we're going to continue with Reverend Bill's book, Reverend Bill Unplugged and Unedited. And Cher's been curating that. She has some really cool selections for today. We'll let that be a surprise. And then, of course, at the end of the program, we'll be doing the Absolute Word for November 11th, 2018. So I'm ready to romp. Are you ready to romp?
We are ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, so Cher's been reading for us and doing a good job, so let's go.
We are moving from, we were talking about the law of God, and now we're going to do God in action. And this really continues the law of God, but it looks at it from a very practical perspective, from Charles's perspective. And this comes from Mysteries of John. He says, "The Comforter or Holy Spirit is the law of God in action. And when thought of in this way, it appears to have personality. From this truth, the Hebrews got their conception of the personal tribal God. The functions ascribed to the Holy Comforter or Holy Spirit or Spirit of Truth imply distinct personal subsistence. He is said to speak, search, select, reveal, reprove, testify, lead, comfort, distribute to every man, know the deep things of God, and he can be known by man only through his spiritual nature." Interesting, he uses he for the Holy Spirit, because we always think of the Holy Spirit as the feminine aspect of the Trinity.
And Charles did that. There are places where he refers to that as she. Well, let's take it one sentence at a time. The Comforter, Holy Spirit, is the law of God in action. Now, you know what? I really don't have any problem with that. The rest, I might have some quibble. but you know what? Let's process this, and then I'll tell you what I'm thinking on another level. And when thought of in this way, that the Holy Spirit is a law of God in action, it appears, I really love that, it appears to have personality. Mm-hmm. From this truth, the Hebrews got their conception of the personal tribal God.
And that's really been the foundation of Christianity's belief in a personal God.
Yes, indeed.
That's where that's all come from.
And I think, what do they call it? The Abrahamic, when they talk. So we have the three monotheistic religions. We have Muslim, we have Christian, we have Judaism. Wow, my mind froze up. No, let me do that again. We have the Muslims, we have the Jews, and we have the Christians, and they all have Abraham as the common ancestor, and they refer to the Abrahamic traditions. I don't know. So I think all three have a personal God in that sense. And none of them are thinking of God as appearing to have personality. I think all of them demonstrate a God that has personality. Yes?
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. That's what it's evolved to for sure.
Yeah. And I would put the word seems there. And when thought of in this way, it seems to have a personality. And we have that teaching that God is both personal and principal. But the personal piece is the experience we manifest in relation to principle. But principle doesn't have a personality. Did you guys want to add anything?
Yeah, I'm thinking about what are the two words that people use, transcendent and...
Imminent.
What's the other word? Imminent. Thank you. Yeah. Transcendent and imminent God. Yeah. And people tend to focus on the imminent as
Yeah, right. Exactly. All right. So yeah. So this is quite a shopping list of attributes for the Holy Spirit, isn't it? The functions.
Yeah, I think he's probably gone through scriptures where it says God did this, this, or this, because they sound like things that you would associate with God, quote, in different passages. These are all the positive ones. There's a lot of negative ones too.
Boy, there are. And Bill does that in his new book. Oh my gosh. And roughhousing that. Wow. So it is said that the Comforter or the Holy Spirit or Spirit of Truth is said to speak, search, select, reveal, reprove, testify, lead, comfort, distribute to every man, know the deep things of God. You know, teach isn't on there.
That's right, it's not.
Teach isn't on there, yeah. Well, let me put this in a context which is very different than from what he wrote here, because there are those places where Myrtle refers to the Holy Spirit as the activity of God in our mind at the point of our that isn't too bad. Then we got to remember what the activity of God is, which is mind, idea, expression. That's the activity of God. And that's why I've been saying when we were looking at just law of God, I was thinking it was mind, idea, expression. And then Charles says in one of his unpublished pieces in Releasing the Holy Spirit of God and Man, that the Holy Spirit is the way our mind works, which is little m mind, little I idea, little e expression. And so that's how our mind works. But this implies that it's actually doing something to us, doesn't it? That it can comfort us, it can teach us. And in our absolute version of unity teachings, and more of where our teachings are evolving to, is there isn't a divinity or an entity or anything that does things to us or for us, right?
Right.
So that
actually, the next reading we're going to do emphasizes that more, I think.
Okay, let's take a look.
And that comes from Mysteries of John. And it also will show where he refers to the Holy Spirit as a feminine aspect. It's interesting. Okay, here's what he says from Mysteries of John. Jesus understood that the apostles must make their own demonstration and could not lean on him. So, Paul, that goes back to what you were just saying, that we have to do it ourselves. Therefore, he directed them to the Holy Comforter or Holy Spirit, which is the law of God in action and the one supreme teacher. There's teaching.
There's teacher, right?
Eventually, the Spirit leads us into all truth. One jot, this is a quote, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass away from the law, unquote. Justice and righteousness must be meted out. The Holy Spirit is the comforter or God's love in action, which like a mother guides and helps and forgives all who seek her.
Wow, this is such traditional Christianity.
It is. Yeah, it is.
You know, that whole justice and righteousness must be, is it meted or meted? Meted out?
Meted. I think it's meted.
Let's just say must be dished out.
Right? Yeah.
Must be dished out. And so law does what law does. And we are always get an effect from it. And so to me, there's another law called the law of justice, is that junk in, junk out, period. And when what you put in, by right of consciousness, the justice you receive is same stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And so this isn't a justice that, well, that this quote appears to be God or the Holy Spirit or something meeting out or dishing out justice. I'm not on board for that.
Yeah, and it's more the comforter end of it. I think the Holy Spirit, and because traditionally Jesus said that we had the Holy Spirit to know that we were never separated.
Yes.
I think that's essentially the message of the Holy Spirit, is that part of the Christ nature with which we can connect at any moment.
Yeah.
Or not connect, that implies separation too.
Well, you know, for me, when the whole terminology of comforter, for me, it's simply the vital force within us that animates us.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's good. And so it's not this thing or this entity. When we're in touch with that which we are, that absolute, whatever we want to call it, there's great comfort in that. Mm-hmm. Great comfort in that. Mm-hmm. And much more comfort than when I was a traditional Christian, when I was waiting for something to comfort me. This is comforting ourselves in a way, right?
Well, that's good for me too. It's comfort for me in knowing that I can achieve the alignment with my divine nature anytime I want. It's there already.
Yep.
And knowing that we have all the powers within us to achieve whatever it is we are setting out to achieve.
Yes, indeed.
That's pretty comforting.
And there's a great irony here. And that is, here the quote is saying, we're to lean on the Holy Spirit and not Jesus. And the unity teachings is all about leaning on Jesus.
On Jesus, yeah.
Right?
And leaning on the Holy Spirit could imply leaning on the powers and core abilities that we have within us.
Yes, so I think that's where we need to go, Cher. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, that's where we need to go. And I think it's probably time we need to go somewhere else, right? We need to pivot.
I think that's a great idea. We can go to Reverend Bill Unplugged and Unedited, which is an awesome book that we're having fun with at our discussions.
Yeah, and if it's tickling your fancy, I suggest you go over to their website and find it and buy it. Because we're not looking at all of them by any sense.
No, we're picking and choosing.
Cher is curating, picking and choosing. But I've gone through it pretty well. And some of the ones we haven't reviewed are worth reviewing. At the very least, Bill will invite you to think. And that's really, really important. And to question your answers.
Definitely.
Yeah, thank you.
Right?
Yes.
Appreciate that.
Okay. Go ahead, Bill.
The really good thing about hanging around with you guys is that you're so complimentary of my writing.
That's right. And you deserve it.
Good stuff.
So where are we going to go?
I thought we would go to page 181 and talk about Thanksgiving, since at the time of this recording, we're approaching the Thanksgiving time.
Yep.
And I don't know when people will be listening to it, but that's okay, because we need this all year round.
All year round.
Bill calls it Thanksgiving, L-I-V-I-N-G. And here's what he says. Thanksgiving places you above the ups and downs of everyday living. It's a life in which you are not held captive by outer appearances. It's a life of perpetual gratitude, a life of being grateful for what you have, a life of gratefulness.
Wow. Yes,
indeed. Isn't that powerful?
It's just beautiful. I think gratitude is what opens our heart the fastest.
I think you're correct, yeah. Really. And I love where he says, you're not held captive by outer appearances.
Well, and that's a fundamental unity premise. No one, no thing on the outside can hold you captive. It's only with that, your thoughts and feelings and beliefs, that hold us captive. Right.
Yep.
You know,
and even in the traditional wording in scripture, we are given dominion over all of that.
Yeah. What's really cool is, well, I'm really glad you went there. That dominion can apply to the outer realm, and we have 100% dominion over our thoughts and feelings, though it doesn't seem that way.
Exactly. And
in my book, Heart-Centered Metaphysics, I talk about the concept of blocks and stuff that seems to be in the outer is primarily in the inner.
Within, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so once we learn that, that the blocks aren't outside, that they're inside, then we can do something about it more effectively.
Exactly.
And it's the source of our power. I mean, that is such a powerful awareness to have. And it's easy to remember when everything's going right, but when things go crazy, that's when we need to make an effort to remember.
Absolutely. And this whole idea of having dominion over heaven and earth, it's so easy to listen to that and understand that from our embedded theology. However, in a metaphysical interpretation, if we have dominion over our higher consciousness and our lower consciousness, because earth is metaphysically interpreted as the consciousness that's derived from our senses. So isn't that true? We have dominion over both.
Yep,
we sure do. Wow. Okay, so then he goes on to say, thanks living means you are the curator of your own soul when you elevate your thinking to a higher spiritual octave. It means allowing your inner priesthood to guarantee safe passage through the crucible of your skin school experience, no matter what happens to you down here. Your thoughts, intentions, beliefs, cells and molecules are monks, nuns, and priests. Your body is your monastery, and your consciousness is your cathedral.
What? That is good. That is really good. I think that bears rereading, actually. Do that again, Cher.
The whole paragraph?
Yeah, so people can really get it. Okay,
so thanks living means you are the curator of your own soul when you elevate your thinking to a higher spiritual octave.
Curator of your own soul. No one else is curating, right?
Yeah.
And what does a curator do? Picks and chooses.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So you get to do it.
We are totally responsible for our own enlightenment.
Yes. Mm. It's like, damn it. Can't somebody do it for me?
Yep.
Now, wouldn't it be nice? I want to hire somebody to meditate for me today.
Right. Yeah.
Doesn't work that way.
Does not.
Okay. It means allowing your inner priesthood. And so here's where he starts this whole beautiful metaphor. Your inner priesthood to guarantee safe passage through the crucible of your skin school experience.
Okay, so those who don't know, Bill, talk about crucible a little bit.
Well, for me, it's the test tube, I guess, in a way. It's the between the hammer and the anvil kind of awareness, where you're moving through polarities, extremes, the difference between your finiteness and your infiniteness, that kind of thing, your transcendence and immanence. And it requires clarity. It requires higher thinking. It requires not being imprisoned simply by the world of outer appearances, which is where most people are, unfortunately.
And for me, crucible is a object, like you put like a metal in or something, like you purify a metal or something like that is what's vaguely coming to me. Did you look it up, Cher?
I did. And that is one definition. Another definition is a situation of severe trial. That was what I had thought of when I saw it.
Yeah.
Or in which different elements interact, leading to the creation of something new.
Yeah. So
that's kind of powerful.
So all of those are powerful because that is the spiritual growth process.
Yeah, and we could also extend the analogy by saying that our waking consciousness, our lower mind, if you will, our egocentricity is a crucible that we've got to move through.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I guess chemicalization, that whole concept of chemicalization could fit into this too.
Yes.
That's what happens.
Yep, the stuff comes up, okay? When we're doing things correctly, things come up to be burned in the crucible of our consciousness, right?
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Okay, go on.
Wow. So your thoughts, intentions, beliefs, cells, and molecules are monks, nuns, and priests.
That's beautiful.
Your body is your monastery, and your consciousness is your cathedral.
Wow, that is so, so poetic, Bill.
Thank you.
It is.
So poetic. And in a way, it works better for me than talking about my body as the temple. I really like it as a monastery.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Because that kind of gives you that feeling too of the complete, total, the power you have and the aloneness you have.
Yeah.
I mean, that it's you.
It's only you.
Responsible. Yeah. Okay, so quickly, let me just finish up what he says here because this is so good. Be thankful.
Full.
And let me, it's thanks, two words, thanks. Full, like full of thanks. It turns a meal into communion, an ordinary moment into an extraordinary moment, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend.
Wow.
Being thankful turns unemployment into redirection. I love that. And the unknown into an adventure.
Yes.
It turns disappointments into acceptance and confusion into clarity. It turns hard times into the best of times. A handshake into a hug, a smile into laughter, being scared into sacred beingness, anger into forgiveness, unhappy employment into ecstatic other employment, relocation into opportunity, illness into illumination.
You know, Bill, that's another one of your brilliant lists. And there's a couple here that I can say I have used repeatedly. And so this concept of when we're in some sort of disappointment or bad situation or things aren't going the way we expect it, mm-hmm. to think of it as an adventure rather than a problem is so good, and as an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Because it opens up your mind. All of a sudden you have an awareness beyond what you had.
And where I've used it the most is when I was traveling and there's something going on and I can't do what I wanted to do. And I go, okay, this is an adventure. I wonder how it's going to turn out, right?
Definitely.
Wonderful. So thank you for that, Bill. And now we're going to turn to the absolute word. I'm still looking for a new name for that, folks. If you want to go to bit.ly/Metaromp, where we have lots of information, you can post your ideas. So this is the absolute word based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. This comes from November 11th, which was Veterans Day. And so the word is freedom. I am divine, I am free and unlimited. I am divine, I am free and unlimited. The words of the prayer for protection were originally penned by James Dillard Freeman for the men and women in the armed services during World War II. On this Veterans Day, I bless all who serve and have served to protect our freedom. The light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is. But wait, there's more. You and I are the light. You and I are the love. You and I are the power. You and I are the presence. Wherever you and I are, the divine is. I am grateful I am free and for those who have defended our freedom. I value it and use it wisely. I am divine, I am free and unlimited. Yes, indeed. Yes, and of course, our mental freedom is guaranteed, as we were talking about during the program. And it's so important to remember that.
Yeah. Definitely.
So,
and by the way, for those who are wondering how the moon got the man in the moon, the man in the moon is James Dillard Freeman. He's got two of his poems up there.
That's right.
And one of which is this one, yes.
And what, this one and I Am There, I think.
I am there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really great poetry. You got to remember it's poetry. Okay, friends, that brings another Metaphysical Romp to a close. We so appreciate you. Thank you for listening. And of course, if you want to leave comments and questions, just go on over to bit.ly/Metaromp. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Cher.
Thank you, Paul, for hosting.
Yes, our pleasure.